Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it is 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Winds are coming down better than it was an hour ago. So looking at Eagle Point, it's down to south-southwest. It's 6 to 8. Morgan's Point, south-southeast, 3 to 6. And then let's see what the old railroad bridge has got to offer this morning. That's probably the most accurate one. It's well, it's about 6, so hey, it has come down. We'll take that. Calmer seas, smoother waters. Everybody, all fishermen like that. All right, let's go to Captain Cliff Webb down in Corpus Christi now and see what he's doing this morning. Good morning, Cliff. What's going on down that way?
Good morning, Mickey. All right, hey, buddy. I'm dragging today, let me tell you.
Are you? You've been burning the oil,
Oh,
huh?
My God, dude. I haven't slept. I have not gone to sleep yet since the night before last. I think I didn't sleep at all last night. I just...
Oh, you're...
I went bird... Oh.
Shoulders no, bothering just, you?
Can't oh, sleep? Yeah, but it gets worse. So... I fished all week, you know, and it's opening white wing season down here, and man, we got the birds. So I go down, and my son comes down, my youngest son, Cody. I never get to hunt with him. He just works so much. So he's going to come down Friday and hunt with Dad. So I'm pumped, you know. So we get down, and I get my neighbor to go with us, and we pile in there. And last year, I hunted this water hole, and it was just unbelievable amount of white wing, just thousands and thousands of them, you know. And and they showed up. They showed up by about 4:15, and we were done at 5:30. I mean, we're limited out. I pull in there, and at 5:30, we ain't seen a bird yet, Mickey. I'm going, what happened? You know, what happened? And then I hear all the shooting back at camp. This guy's shooting at camp. So we load everything back in the truck, and we go back to camp. But kind of all the stuff around the camp, the trees and stuff, there's like 9 people there were kind of covered up. So I got in the truck and I went behind the camp back in the brush, real heavy brush, you know, just tons of birds, but it's that kind of stuff where you shoot a bird, it's hard to get, you know, it's just like kills you trying to get them out of everything, you know. And then the white wing showed up and we started smoking them, man. And so I shoot this bird, Mickey, and it falls in this giant cactus patch. I mean, this big old thing, as big as your living room, you know, the solid, and I'm just hard headed. I try to get every bird. And I can see him down there running around. I can see him down there running around. He's ducking under the cactus. I don't want to shoot him again, you know, so I'll get me a stick, and I'm going to get this bird out. So I lean over, and that bird's in the middle of the cactus with this long stick, and I'm poking at him, and my foot slipped, and I fell in that cactus. And, you know, yeah, well, it was nasty. And so I got my whole chest, my left arm full of cactus, you know, and then I'm really mad. I got to get this bird now. You know, so I give me a bigger stick. And I go in there anyway. I go commando on him. I got him. Anyway, it cost
God.
Me.
God.
So I got so many cacti. I can't sleep. So the cover can't touch me. So today, Carol's going to get a pair of tweezers and start dethorning me, man. But it was nasty, dude.
Boy, that's all you can do, man. That's
yeah. God.
That's
I
miserable.
Can't believe it'd be cactus. I can't believe any cactus I got every, but that's what you get for being stupid. It reminds you how stupid you can be hunting. You know, I don't know what it is about, man. I'm going to get my bird. You know, there's thousands of them. Just shoot another one. No, got to get that dead one. You know,
oh, yeah.
So I just, it's bred in me. We don't waste game, you know, so
no, that's the way to be. But I mean,
I know it
man's
comes to
got
a point,
to know his limitations.
I didn't know my limitations. So the smart hunters, they just kind of let the coyotes, you know, not Cliff. I'm going to get that sucker, you know, and God almighty. But man, it was really fun. But my son did so good shooting. He's just worked so much. He's been to Dubai and China this year and Japan. He's been all over the world, you know, so he doesn't get a much chance. I finally said, Dad, I'm going to come hunt with you opening day. And I was so excited, you know, but
I bet.
And so he shot my over and under. He doesn't shoot a whole lot, you know, and he just smoked them. I think he killed like 10 birds a box, which is pretty good for somebody that doesn't shoot, you know?
Well, yeah, that's good for some people that do shoot. So.
But I usually shoot under a box with a 20, and yesterday with that 25-mile-an-hour wind, I shot a little over a box for my limit. So anyway.
The wind is not your friend when it comes to
not with that little 20
birds.
Gauge, dude.
No.
Oh, my God. You know, they were just rocking.
To break out the big artillery, shot pattern, and more shot.
Yeah. Everybody was shooting 12 but me, but that 20 gauge is real nice on your shoulder. It really is. I shoot the low brass, and it's nice on your body, you know. But fishing's been good. You know, Mick, I took my boat in, and they're going to have it for 2 weeks. I'm getting everything redone on it, getting ready for the winter. Right. And so I've been boatless and just been fishing the beach, just having an absolute blast on the beach. I sent you that picture of Bob, that other big trout on the fly.
Yeah, on the fly rod Bob.
Yeah, man, I fished him every day this week. And he can't see fish like I do. I mean, I got the eyes for fish. I don't know what it is, maybe it's all these years, but I can see a lot more fish than he does.
Well, you've done it for so long, it just comes second nature to you, you know?
Yeah. And we're standing there in these anchovy minnows and glass minnows. We've been pushed right up against the bank. I mean, within a foot of the bank. And these fish are just charging them up against the bank. A lot of them are skipjacks. The skipjacks just blow up. You know, by 10 o'clock, you stand there, and you look in the skipjack, you see a couple of big old black logs, big old black trout laying in the backside of them. What they're doing, I think they're eating those little skipjacks. I don't know, but
well, that's possible.
I don't know. They're probably eating those little minnows, but it's just funny how they hang in the backside of those little skippies. Some of those little skippies are 10 inches long, and some of them are 3 foot long. But, you know, we throw at them, and I catch two or three. But when Bob throws at him with that fly rod, he's matching the size of what they're eating, I think. I think a lot of them are eating those little bitty glass minnows, you know. I think some of them are eating skipjack them up, but a lot of them are just going up there and getting a mouthful of those glass minnows.
Yeah.
And, man, he threw in front of that 28-and-a-half-inch trout, and he ate it, man. And that sucker just walked the top on that fly rod. Oh, it's just that the fish on a fly rod's really cool. You know,
it is.
Seven weight like
it
that
is.
And surf, you know, and of course Bob's nervous as heck, he's gonna lose him, you know. Then you try to get him up on the beach, but he landed that one, and I think I caught one about 27 that day on a topwater. But that fly fishing's just, it's off the chart if you're good like he is. He's really good. You know, he could turn into the wind, you know, wherever he can put that fly rod in front of him, you know. That'll be around my neck. It's gotta be just right for me. But in the bay, fishing is good. What few people we have out in the bay, they're getting them. You know, it's not like it's going to – in another couple of weeks, we get a little cool down, water temperature drop 2 degrees, we're really going to smoke them. But there's
still our water's steadily dropping just a little bit each day.
Yeah.
You know, with these shorter days, less hours of daylight. And it's coming.
It's coming, buddy. It's coming. And but
well,
you know,
when
just
in the winter we get tired of that, we can't wait till spring, and then spring winds show up, and then we can't wait for the summer and the summer to lay down. Hey, and
what do you mean spring winds? You mean 6 months of wind?
Well, those spring winds hung on this year, didn't they, bud?
They did. Yeah, I never seen nothing like April 15th was like July 15th or August 15th before it slowed down. I've never seen a spring like that, man.
Oh gosh,
you know, that was stupid. I hope it's better this time.
But then, you know, we get tired of summer, sick of all this heat, can't wait till fall.
And
then
I know.
Can't wait till winter. I'm glad there's four seasons.
I know.
But in Texas, I think we really only have a couple. It's either summer or winter, you know.
Yeah, it just kind of, that spring thing and fall thing doesn't last very long. I hope the fall lasts a little bit longer. I love that fall time when you get those
Early one, you know, and you get that good fall from October through, you know, late November, and then winter shows up around Christmas, like, you know, that.
Yeah.
That would be perfect.
Yeah, just knock all the chance of the hurricanes. That's, you know, someone said yesterday, my buddy says, we're not going to get a hurricane yesterday. I said, do not say that.
Because
every time that we had this, we start getting stuff in October. Remember that? I mean, into September and October, everything shows up like it's just late. So it could be just late. We should get.
You know,
more
I remember
storms.
An October hurricane one year, a little Hurricane Jerry. I mean, it came right through the Galveston jetties, and we fished that morning, and it, you know, a lot of wind ahead of it, but we didn't think anything of it. And then we get home, and we're frying fish. Everybody's over at my house, and we're frying the fish we caught, and my wife comes out and said, hey, there's a hurricane going to be here about 5 o'clock. I said, what?
What? Golly. Oh, man. God, that's something. But, we'd be great to get some water down here because we're just, I mean, the water thing is hilarious right now. God almighty. they're firing people. People are quitting down here, so I don't know if we'll ever get any water. It's just stupid. We're down to like 11% or something.
Is it that low now already, 11%?
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, they just found out that we spent $5 billion and bought water 5 years ago from some lake, and our people never did deliver it. It was too much, so they just drained our lakes. And so they're really mad about that now. You know, we paid all that money and never took the water. So it's just the political stuff down here is nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like y'all might need to have an election and change
horses.
Yeah,
we need to get a bunch of those people. Well, you know, I told somebody the other day, why can't we get some people down from Houston or somewhere that know what they're doing and run our city? Because, I mean, you look at all the other cities, they run like, you know, really good compared to us. I mean, I don't know what's going on down here, but that water thing's been going on as long as I can remember. Nobody seems to do anything about it. But it's pretty funny, man. All these businesses come in here and they can't really go because they can't get water. They just shut them down.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is, buddy. So I'm hoping we'll get some little storm in the watershed and give us a few months for these idiots to figure out something. So anyway,
we were talking about the seasons. Rusty Dearman, yeah. A buddy of mine, Randy's brother, he texted, said, Mickey, my dad always said we have two seasons in Texas. We've got summer, and then we've got August. That's a good one.
I had a guy.
And then we have August. Oh, man.
No, that's funny. But I had a guy one day from Louisiana, and I said something about the seasons of Louisiana, the duck seasons.
Right.
He says, we only have two seasons in Louisiana, salt and pepper. That's the time we go hunting. That was good. You don't even look at the seasons. They just, you know, when you talk about seasons, that's something you put on a duck. You know,
that's
pretty good.
Like that. Salt and pepper.
They asked the governor, they wanted to make duck season longer. They said, what do you want me to do, put 13 months in a year? They hunt them all the time anyway. You know, so
it's that's a whole different, man, that's a whole different game over there across the border
they're,
from me.
They're good.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You got love in Cajuns.
All right,
let me
knock
his break out. I'll be right back, buddy. Hang on. All right, you're listening to The Outdoor Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show, 619. All right, Cliff, we're back.
All right, buddy. We got a little wind here today, Mick.
It's a little puffy up and down the coast, and we shall see.
We'd have died in that heat yesterday. It was 103 when we were hunting. It's still 103 at 5 o'clock.
Goodness.
And, it was okay when we were hunting around the pond. We had a little breeze, but when I got back in that brush, buddy, it was man, everybody's heating up. You're just so hot. It's unbelievable, you know. But we had white, but last year we had an amazing amount of birds. This year it's okay. Just not as many as we had last year. It's just funny how that works. And we never killed not one mourning dove. Never saw a mourning dove. Now figure that out. Normally it's a mixed bag, and our place
and
is loaded with white.
You have two in your aggregate, right?
Yes, sir. Right.
Yeah.
And then I don't think anybody. There was nine hunters there. I don't think anybody killed a mourning dove off white wing. Yeah, it's crazy.
I know. Big old Bink had a good shoot up in Bay City on white wings yesterday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He texted me and said they were pounding on them, but Blaine. I talked to him. Well, I texted him. I said, y'all pounding on some white wings today? He said, man, all the white wings disappeared. Said he got 1 million mourning doves, no white wings.
Well, I saw a video. I fished with Wyatt, my neighbor, on the beach the other day, and he caught a
Wyatt
nice
Foster?
Guy. Yeah, my neighbor. He's a great guy. He
called
me and said, hey, man, you're going to fish the beach tomorrow? I said, heck yeah, man, let's go fish. So I met him out there, and we fished, you know, and he showed me a video somewhere down in the valley of I think there was commercial sunflowers, those big old sunflowers, and it was just like bat cave. It was just stupid how many birds he was going down there hunting. So maybe that's where Blaine's birds are in the sunflowers. Maybe they went over there and got, because they planted a whole bunch of sunflowers. And man, that seems to be the trick. Those big old commercial sunflowers, about as big as a paper plate. You ever seen those things? They're nuts, man.
Yeah, I just got a text from a listener, Tom, and he showed me some doves on laying on the ground. He said millions.
Oh, that's so good.
And he's showing me a big sunflower pod on there.
Yeah, that's what. And my son, I haven't talked to him. He was up at Mathis, and he's got a great place. And I haven't talked to him yet. He had some hunters yesterday, so he had lots of birds. So we'll see how he did.
Yeah, that's dove hunting. You know, they move around just like these stupid fish do. You know, you just got to be in the right place.
Yeah, and I had an incredible October last year at my son's place. You know, it was just a limit every day after October, and the first part of the season was slow. What happens to our place is so weird because we shoot at those white wing 2 or 3 days, and they go to the city limits of Alice. They all go to everybody's bird feeder, you know, and then we're just left with nothing. So I'm hoping, I don't know if I'm going to be able to shoot today or not. The good thing is there's no cactus on my shooting shoulder. How lucky was that? So man. I can't move the rest of me, but I got a good shoulder put on it. But Carol's going to, I'm going to get Carol to have a couple cups of coffee and a pair of tweezers, and she's going to work on me here in a little bit. It's not going to be pretty, man.
Get out the spotlight.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's so funny, man. So I'm trying to lay in the recliner to sleep. You know, every once in a while, someone cuts those things, you just jump up, you know. They're kind of under, not under your arm, but kind of on your forearm there underneath. I can't see, so my neck doesn't bend, so those ones kind of up under my chin. I can't see them or nothing. I'm just kind of feeling pulling out hair with tweezers and stuff, but it is pretty funny, man. That cactus is something else. Golly.
It is. You know, I remember one year I took my lab down to Blaine's, you know, for quail hunting and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And she had never been to South Texas. You could tell by the way she worked that brush. And I got home with that dog, and that dog was sick for 3 days from just got like a fever from all the cactus in her.
Yep.
She'd be laying there on the floor, and I'm sitting there picking that stuff out of her. She was miserable.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. You know, we got cat claw, too.
Blaine's dogs, his two labs, I mean, they got so used to it, they didn't even bother them.
That's something, isn't it?
It is.
Golly. I have these people that, you know, we don't really hunt our labs. We hardly ever did. And dove season is just too hot.
Yeah,
you know, I just don't do it. You know, and Mike Herring, you know, we got those really good dogs. And when he hunts birds, he takes one of those little small blue swimming pools, you know, for kids' swimming pool, and lays it next to him where he's hunting and fills it full of a couple bags of ice. And then when his dog comes back, they kind of set that ice. But he doesn't overwork them. He'll take two dogs and put them up. But you can really overwork a dog so easy in this heat.
Oh,
you got to realize down there.
So many dogs die during dove season and teal season because they're not, you know, accustomed to the heat and working in that.
Yeah.
And that's why you got to start working them early. Mm-hmm. Get them used to running around and all that. So.
Yeah, our vet was saying that we lose an average of 11 labs opening day of dove season a year.
Isn't that crazy?
Something? That's crazy. You think people would learn? But I see my neighbors, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's 102 degrees, and they got their poor dog trotting down the road, and it's like 115 on the pavement. Their pads are burning off, and they're jogging with them. I'm like, what? You know? And they got a bottle of water, but they ain't got nothing for the dog. That dog goes, hey, man, can't you do this at daylight? You know, it's crazy. But anyway.
Yeah, I think asphalt and concrete gets super hot. Yeah, that'll burn those dogs' pads all up.
Yeah, it does, man. You can just tell. You don't want to say nothing, but God, I take my dogs. If I do anything, it's real early in the morning. You know, first light. You know, or late in the afternoon because they're old. And you know, I think the black labs are so much more accepted to the heat because my son has
blacks
one yellow.
Yeah, chocolates, man. They just burn up in that.
My son has three labs. He got one. One yellow, Sonny, and that thing just an animal. And those two black labs will just heat up. So Sonny's the last one hunting. You know,
put a yellow shirt on and go out in the sun and do what you want to do, and then come back in and put a black shirt on and go back out.
That makes sense.
See how it feels.
That makes sense, dude. Yep.
I never could understand that. You know, all these years of fishing, people would show up with all that dark clothing in the middle of the summertime. I'm going, man, you know, a black hat on, black shirt. I'm going, you're gonna fry, dude.
Well, you know, we were talking about this coming home yesterday. So I went to Mexico and I went to Lake El Salto, and Lake El Salto is right up in the mountains. And we went in August. We're at a surf resort. We're surfing and the surf went flat at Cordon. So the guy goes, hey, man, let's go over and fish El Salto. And it's like 110 degrees because Lake El Salto's down in like a little canyon. There's just kind of mountains all around it, you know, so it doesn't get any air. And we get in this guy's boat, Mickey, and we're just, I mean, it's like 7 o'clock in the morning. We're already sweating, drinking water. And this guy has a long sleeve shirt and a beanie on, like he wear in the winter. And we're sweating our, and he never had a drop of sweat on him, never got hot. And us gringos over there just fry, you know, but he was acclimatized to it. But that beanie hat, I never could figure that out, how he had that on his head. I don't know about that. But he never got hot, buddy. It was incredible how, I guess he lived there all his life and that didn't seem to bother him.
Yeah, he's just accustomed to it, I guess. I don't know.
you know, we tend to fire that boat up and move a little bit. We'd get us some air. We were just drenching wet, you know.
I know.
Well, and especially the people from California that were there, they were really hurting. They're not used to that weather. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, especially if they were from North California.
But that Lake El Salto was some kind of bass fishing. That is
that's what I hear. Man, that's,
that's God,
a bucket
dude.
List trip, too.
Yeah, it was stupid how many fish we caught.
Guerrero and El Salto. And man, they catch some big bass and lots of them.
I've been to Guerrero a few times, you know, and fish that Corona River and everything, but that Lake El Salto for the average fish was stupid how many big fish they had, Mickey. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. They take trucks full of that tilapia, and they dump them in that lake to feed those bass.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it, you know. That's just nuts.
That ought to make them grow.
Yeah. You'll see one floating with a big old tilapia in their throat, choked to death. You'll see every once in a while they'll find one.
That's what those tilapia are good for. Let the bass eat them. That's food for fish, not for humans. I don't like that stuff. That meat's just.
Hey, man, I saw a video a guy sent me. It's got these racks of chickens, and the chickens are, you know, doing their thing and dropping down the tilapia or eating it. So they're feeding the fish with the chickens. And that's how they, you know, that's
chicken
so
heavy.
I don't know if I want to eat one of those, man.
Man, they grow those overseas and sewage ponds and everything else.
Send them to us, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like those shrimp. That same thing with the shrimp. They grow those ponds in the sewage tank and they send it to America and laugh about us eating them, you know. So
yeah, we have
so
all
glad
the imported shrimp. Hey, man, I wouldn't.
Yes.
Man, if shrimp didn't come out of our bays or guff, I'm not eating it.
It ain't good. No.
No,
and you know, luckily now the restaurants now are putting, you know, wild caught shrimp on all the restaurants, so that's really good. You know, the flavor's not the same. I promise you.
No,
it's not. No.
I remember I went to somebody's house years ago and we ate some. They fried shrimp and boiled shrimp and all that, and it tasted like moss. You know, it just had that. Kind of like when you catch bass or something out of a pond and you eat them, and you can. It has that.
Yeah.
You know, that mossy taste to it. And I said, man, where'd y'all get those shrimp? Oh, we got them over here at, you know, one of the grocery stores. And I said, man, that's farm-raised or something. That's not real shrimp. I said, but it was good.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
Man.
I didn't want to tell them their food
was
terrible.
You didn't want to tell them the real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I bought some shrimp. In August, we have these big white shrimp come out of San Antonio Bay. And they're the very best shrimp on the coast.
Aren't those
the bottom
good?
Of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so I bought me 20 pounds alive. They came in there still hopping. I deheaded them and froze them. And, you know, there's not a better shrimp to eat.
There no, really that's hard to beat,
I get
them so
in August.
Good.
You know, it's crazy. And, you know, you think about the pin-raised dove. I had this one hunter that he doesn't feed the pellets. He feeds grain and corn to his pin-raised. Mm-hmm. The flavor's unbelievable. Then you go with the ones that feed the Prina pellets and stuff, the flavor is totally different. So it is definitely what they're eating. But those
there's nothing better than a wild quail versus a you know, domestic quail.
Yeah. You got to have a few grasshoppers and stuff in there to make them good.
You got to have all the nutrients, all that South Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. It does make a difference. And you can tell the difference. If you like quail like I do, what do you call them? Nature's nachos?
Nature's nacho. And, you know, I got to call Blaine. I'm just not going to do it. We got to get a quail hunt with him. I want to go up there and get that quail hunt with him. You know, I might be too late, but every year I say I'm going to do it, I get busy. But, man, we don't. You know, they took the quail away from us on our deer lease after 30-something years.
You told me that. Isn't that nuts?
I just couldn't believe it, you know. And anyway, so I have to watch them eat all my feed under the feeder. So.
You can kill our deer, but don't touch our quail.
Okay. And he doesn't want us to shoot javelinas. That's another one I don't get. He said, don't shoot the javelinas. I said, okay, whatever you say.
Yeah, we'll keep feeding
out, let me tell
all
you.
Our corn. They eat up all of our corn, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let me do this break, Cliff. Hang on. I'll be right back, buddy. All right.
All right, buddy.
Well, Boyd's One Stop, they're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that live bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have them on display. And you can check out all their different size bottles, regulators, diffusers. They refill for you right there at the store. More info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8255. 8107. And speaking of wild-caught Gus shrimp, that's all you're going to find at Boyd's. No farm-raised. And if you're looking for the big 9-12s, whatever count you like, they always have a good price on them and plenty of availability. And their Cajun Grill next door turns out some really good food. They really know how to cook their seafood and their tartar sauce. All of it's excellent. And their Santa Fe location is excellent, too. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 6:36 here in the Bayou City. Okay, Cliff, we are back.
All right, buddy.
Cactus.
Well, you know, have you tried that topwater called the Duke Dog?
No, I have not. I don't have one. Who makes that?
So it's mirror lure, and Mike told me about it, how good it was in the surf. And, dude, that is a bait for the surf.
It's Duke Dog, like D-double-O-P?
Yep. Duke. Like Duke of Hazzard, you know.
Oh, Duke. D-U-K-E. Yeah.
I can't speak very well. I haven't had you sleep. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Duke Dog. And it's like the shape of a meridine, but it walks the dog real easy when you reel it across the top. And
so it's a shad pattern top water that floats and you just pattern. Walk it?
Yes. You walk in, it's got a rattler in it, and man, it's smoking.
Oh, that's
got
to be nuts.
And I got some on the way right now, but
I need to get some of those. Try them out. Boy, that'd be good in Trinity Bay. We got so many shad, that's all they want.
Yes. And then, you know, Bass Assassin Robin sent me a new bunch of new stuff for the wintertime. And that pink flamingo in the wintertime.
Yeah, flamingo
is gonna be
flash.
Out.
Yeah, that's flamingo be crazy. Flash.
Oh, my God, you know. And I tell you, another one that we overlook down here in the winter is that watermelon gold.
Yeah.
You know, they're crazy about that color when the water temperature gets below about 65, you know. Mm-hmm. Drop it down there. When it gets in the 50s, I like the red shad. It's funny how that works, you know. You get that cold water, they love that red shad, you know. So, but I'm looking, what's so different about this year is we didn't have all those days of really hot temperature to warm the water up in the flat. So we have a lot of fish that stayed, didn't move south. So I'm looking for a super good winter. I'm thinking it's going to
be
on. Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking too, man.
You know, and This is what I never get.
February, early March, they ought to be fat and sassy.
Oh, my God. It ought to be good, man. And, you know, this is what I don't understand about our surf fishing. So, normally, when we get this many calm days, you know, we had a long calm stretch, we have to worry about red tide. There's no sense of it in the air. There's nothing going on. So, I don't know what that red tide, what it takes to make it. But if we can get through this next 2 or 3 weeks, we normally don't ever have it. You know, it never really shows up in October. It always shows up at the end of the summer. So, that's what's strange is, you know, some years we get that Mickey and it kills everything on the beach. You know, so.
Well.
I hope we don't have that because we got some just beautiful fish on the beach.
You know, we've got those different currents from the west this year. That's what, you know, it changed the flow so we don't get all that Mississippi Delta, you know, silt and everything coming down through Galveston.
Okay.
Those currents kind of changed this year and came from the west, so maybe that's got something to do with it.
Yeah, I wish I could figure it out, the El Nino and all that weird stuff and what we're in. I don't know how all that works, but it does make a difference. Supposed to have a cold, wet winter.
So, really?
Yeah, that's what all the people are telling me, but I like a cold, wet, cloudy, drizzly winter. It's not good for your morale, but it sure is good for fishing.
No, but I like deer hunting and that. You know, a little mist in the air, and
mm-hmm.
You see those deer shaking the dew off of them out there while they're feeding. Mm-hmm. And then when you shoot one, it just, man, all the water flies off of him when the impact of the
projectile. Yeah, that is cool, isn't it? Yeah, that's neat.
For
yeah.
some of those voluptuous backstraps.
Hey, you said like Ted Nugent now, man.
He is hilarious, man. Hey, have you ever heard Jimmy Lloyd impersonate Ted Nugent?
No,
he's the
is he good?
I've ever heard on it. You can Google that. I think it's even.
I will.
It's on YouTube and all that. It's hilarious. Jimmy Lloyd.
Yeah, I got to hunt with Ted. I got to hunt with him at Sarita. He came and played the guitar at the camp and got to hunt with
right.
him. And he shot a nail guy with a bow. Yeah, he shot a nail guy with a bow, you know. And he's a great shot. Golly, man. But, really, really fun, you know. Definitely an outdoorsman. Oh, my God. And I tell you who else is an outdoorman you wouldn't believe is Post Malone.
Yeah, I heard that.
Big time. He's a big time hunter and fisherman. It's just, you know, it doesn't look like it, but he's a hunting machine. You know, he always talks to Mike Herring all the time. He orders stuff from Mike.
Post does?
Yeah. And I think his wife talks to him on the phone, and they sell outdoor stuff. I think his son sells, you know, really Gucci stuff, you know, really good.
Yeah, Mike's son. Yeah, he's into it. He started his own business like that.
Yeah.
Hope he's doing good. I hadn't talked to Mike in a while. I need to call him when I get an extra hour, because you get on the phone with him, it's going to be an hour.
Well, he was supposed to come down and fish me last week, and he got sick. He went somewhere, and then he went to Tackletown in Rockport, and he says, "Hey, man, I was coming to fish you the surf in the morning, but everybody at Tackletown in Rockport told me to go home." He says, "You're getting everybody sick." So he went home, and I talked to him, and he'd been in bed for a couple of days. So it's funny how...
Yeah, there's been something going around.
Yes.
Luckily, you know, I haven't been doing anything and being around anybody, so...
Mm-hmm.
But I know a lot of people that have been pretty darn sick.
Yeah, my grandkids came home from school and, of course, gave it to my kids, and so... They were down for a week with it, kind of went around the whole family, you know. So hopefully that first 2 or 3 weeks.
My dad used to call all of us little kids, "Man, y'all are a bunch of germ carriers." Bring it home from school, and now you and me and my mama are sick.
You could count on it when you had kids at that opening 2 or 3 weeks of school. Everybody goes around, you know, it seems to get over it. But, it's just amazing how. I thought we got a lot more time in school, out of school. I don't ever remember us going back.
We didn't go to school this much.
No.
Man, out my way, I see kids getting on the bus at 6 in the morning and then don't get home till like 4 in the evenings.
I know it, man. Well, they may have, should have gave me a little more education. What they gave me didn't help. I don't think any more would have helped anyway.
Yeah,
you're fighting a lost cause.
Used another 12 years. We all could.
I know it, man. Oh, my God. But yeah, so I look back at the records here, and you know, what's the strangest thing is all these big fish show up in August. Isn't that weird, Mickey? And, you know, July, it's not as good, but something about that August, I just don't know. They show up in the surf. They show up in the bay. You know, and there's a lot of big fish in the bay. There's nobody fishing. They still got live bait. Just the clientele, everybody back to school has really dropped off. And I was,
August was always I had a couple areas in Trinity Bay, you know, back when we used to have a lot of big fish, and like Fisher's Reef was one of them. On those calm days, August was a prime month to catch an 8-plus pound trout.
Wow.
On that reef, whether you weighted it or, you know, drifted it. And
mirror lures or what? Mirror lures or straight backs?
No, we used to use a lot of straight backs and, you know, soft plastics, and then just straight up topwaters like jumping minnows and ghost and, you know, top dogs and all that, spooks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's changed now. It's not the same. It doesn't, well, the reef's pretty much dead. There's not any live oyster on it like there used to be. And those fish just don't stage up and live there in August like they used to.
So in the winter, do you still have the areas that they mud up in that still produce fish, or they?
Yeah, mud shell mix, shallow spots that hold a lot of, you know, clam shell or oyster shell with mud and hold those warmer water temperatures, you know, behind cold fronts and stuff.
Yeah. It's amazing how much our bottom has changed every year. It's just nuts how all the grass beds move around, all the sand holes move around, and this year they did the same thing. Some of these big points I was fishing that was all sand or all solid grass this year, and then the ones that were covered with dead grass have moved, and it's solid sand. So it's amazing how people want to fish spots down here. That's a big mistake. You got to fish where the bait's at, and you better start looking for your winter spots now, because you got the clear water. You don't have traffic. You can, and the sand spots are where they're going to be. The mud spots are where they're going to be. Nothing's really going to change unless we get a hurricane. We get a hurricane, all that dead stuff on the King Ranch shoreline stuff's going to suck all down that shoreline, comport the pass, cover up everything. But as long as we don't get a storm, your fish are patterned right now. So find your mud pads, find your open areas that don't have grass. This is the time to look for them, you know. So at 5 o'clock in the morning in February, you don't have to guess where they are, you know. So,
well, that Packery Channel down there has been a real game changer for you guys.
Oh, my God, man. Unbelievable. It's just beautiful. You know, and that's what's so cool is I saw a video, a guy in a flounder boat, Mickey, and he's going down the surf side with this giant flounder boat and going, you are to see the fish on those rocks at night. Unbelievable. Big trout, big snook, just laying all up, just swimming, kind of just swimming against those current. And you would think that you would catch a lot of fish at night. And there's a few fish, you know, caught at night on live shrimp off those rocks, but the amount that you see, I don't know why we don't catch more at night down there, because they're really thick. I think what it is, the sharks and stuff really push them up against the rocks at night.
That's probably why. Yeah, they have to, you know, predators push them up against that structure.
Yeah. But that was so cool. That guy had that flounder boat with that little airplane motor on, and just putting right down those rocks. It was just like an aquarium with all these big 30-inch trout and all these snook and stuff, you know.
My God.
You only got one flounder, but I'll try to send you the video. It's really neat looking. And the same thing in Port Aransas.
Well, those rocks
Island.
Down there to walk, is that easy walking? Is it got a good flat top on it?
Some of it, the top is good, but the edges, you know, now that they're getting mossed up, they've been there a long time. So a lot of the guys are
slick, big time, got to wear golf shoes.
That's what I was going to tell you. So Bob, the guy that
but it's hard to find, you know, golf shoes with the steel spikes anymore.
Well, they got the slip-on stuff that goes over your tennis shoes now for the rocks.
Really?
That's what Bob's wearing. It's like a little thing you slip over your tennis shoes, and he carries them in his back pocket with a boga grip. And he gets a tarpon on the fly or something. He doesn't want to drag it up on the rocks because it knocks the scales off and kills.
Right.
So he puts those cleats on and walks down those rocks and just pulls him right up and snaps the thing on his lips and doesn't drag him up on the rocks. You know, same thing with the snook. I got a video of Bob with this 40-inch snook on a fly rod. I think I sent it to him. He's heavy breathing. You know, he's got the phone kind of video, you know. And he's right there at the water in that big old pig, and he pulls it up. You know, you can just hear him breathing. But I'd be breathing hard too, man. But it's cool how
you look up grinder in the dictionary, and that guy's picture's under it, I'm sure.
Oh, he's fishing this morning. I mean, I don't really know. He kind of sleeps in the morning. He's a sight caster, so he gets up the crack of 10. You know, and goes after the rocks a lot of times. But, you know, him and his wife, they walk the dog down the rocks, and several days they don't catch nothing, and then he'll pop a tarpon or a snook or something. But to see him work a fly in the surf is amazing. So this big fish, the big one he caught, Mickey, is coming at us, right? He's coming down the beach. We see it.
Right.
And he's already, the fish is, we can't move. He's done. I mean, he's got his peg.
Oh, yeah, and you'll spook him big time.
Yeah, and so he's standing there with that fly rod cocked. That fish goes by. He gets down the beach, goes down 60 yards, and cuts that fish off and catches him. That was pretty cool move right
there.
Yeah,
that is.
He got way up on the high bank where he couldn't see him. Goes down there, and here comes that fish again. He throws that clouser in front of him and strips it a couple times. Boom.
The old clouser minnow.
Yeah. And then David Hayward gave me a really cool fly to throw in the surf. Of course, I'm a terrible fly fisherman. But, man, Bob's going to make some patterns off it. But, man, that guy can make some flies. Hayward. Oh, man, you talk about a trout fisherman.
Well,
fly
you
rod.
Make up for it with a bait caster. I fish with a lot of guys in my lifetime, and boy, I love fishing with you. That's some good stuff.
That's what's wrong with my shoulder, man. I think I got to throw it to the moon every time.
Going, man, he's like J.R. Richards every time he casts, man. Oh, fastball.
Stupid.
Well, Cliff, they're kind of right in there, and you're throwing about 30 yards past them.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm covering all the water, man.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong.
Cover more water, catch more fish.
Yeah. You know, when you reel a raccoon in, you're too close to the bank, you know?
That's right.
Everybody, you throw out there, and I reel another raccoon in. Okay, man, I didn't shorten my cast a little bit, you know? I need to do like that guy in the boat. That guy I had in the boat that only had like 20 yards of line on his reel, a little pistol grip, and he says, I fished my bass pond. I don't want to throw over because I get in the brush. So he shows up with a 20 yards on his bait caster.
Hey, you come down your way in that clean water and everything, you better be able to lay one out there.
Yes, they could profile your boat, especially that big old bus I'm driving. That 25 footer can be profiled. Now the lake and bay, the stuff low profile, it's not as critical, but you take a big boat on, especially on a calm day, we're not moving, best scenario, have about a 20-mile-an-hour wind and moving through it and casting far. You're coming up on them like a quail hunter walking through the pasture. You know, yep. You can walk real slow or stand there. You won't kill as many quail. But if you truck across that pasture, you're gonna find something. You know, that's the same way it is with the fish sometimes.
Well, your boat's a good fishing boat. I like fishing out of it. It's very comfortable. I mean, it's got plenty of room, and the console's the right size. You can walk by it without knocking your shoulder out of joint. You know,
exactly.
And it's a good, and it drifts real quiet. It doesn't have those reverse chains. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I don't. That's the only thing I didn't like about my Lake and Bay. You know that 24 backwater
one.
I ran.
Yeah, you had the big one. Yes.
Yeah, the reverse chains. You got too much slap with it. You know, if there was a little bit of chop on the water, and it spooked those redfish. Now, when it was dead calm, man, I could stealth around big time, but you get any kind of chop on the water, it was definitely noisy.
Mm. No, I had the smaller lake.
But it made it ride dry. The ride was dry. You didn't get wet.
Mm-hmm. I had that smaller lake in Bay, and the thing I liked about the low profile.
Yeah, you had what, the Boca Grande?
Yes.
At 20?
And then, it was the Kevlar Hull, only 700 pounds, so it was a super light. But the thing I liked about it, when I fished deep structure, I could set the trolling motor and the wind would never swing my boat around. I could set it sideways and everybody throw it the rock and it would just sit there. And the fish really couldn't profile it because it's only a couple inches, you know, of freeboard on it. So that was a good thing. But now that I get older, that boat got small. You get real clumsy, I was going to fall out of it, you know. So and I got a bigger
boat. The older you get,
boat.
Bigger and smoother is better.
That's it, buddy. That's it, man. But. Thank
God
I'm still out
Boca Grande, that was a little crotch rocket, man.
Oh, my God. You know, when Jay and I fished those tournaments, we blew everybody away in that boat. We drew number 11, and we passed everybody by Bird Island from 37. It was great, man. You know, back 30 years ago, that was a fast boat. 80 miles an hour was fast 30 years ago. Now it's nothing.
Well, it's still fast for me.
Yeah, it's too fast for me.
That's too fast for me, buddy.
Yeah,
60 is about my limit.
Yeah, that's
60 or less, I'm fine. But most time it's 30, 35 cruising around looking for fish, you know.
Yeah, that's what the mechanic at the marina, Chris's marina, really got me. He's so good. He said, Webb, you're putting us 400 on here. He said, yeah, you and Jay Watkins drive 45 miles an hour anyway. It's true.
Yeah.
We drive between 40 and 45 miles an hour where we go because – I just don't feel safe with customers in my boat or people in my boat doing anything. No. I don't want nothing to happen, so I'm just in no hurry. I leave a little earlier. It's like you always say, they're not going to bite till you get there. That's the
best
thing.
That's exactly right. They're not going to bite till you get there.
You know. So.
And if you miss them, go find you another water fish. Yeah, catch them.
That's it. And that's what's so cool about this year is the amount of big schools of fish we have, Mickey. You can, be in an area you're catching a bunch of dinks and move 5 miles and it's just all big fish. And then there's days that you get in the dinks and you're getting ready to leave and pow, you catch a 7-pounder. They're in there eating the little ones. It's just crazy how things work. But if I go an hour or so or 45 minutes and nothing but dinks, I'll move. But if in that hour we catch 2, 5, or 6 pounders, I'm going to figure there's a 10 or 12 pounder in there eating those trout too. You know what?
Yeah.
It's got to be.
10 or 12 pounder. Boy, I love hearing that.
You know there's some out there, Mickey. I mean, they caught 11, 14 last year and a lot of 10s. I think there was like 27 fish over 10 pounds caught last winter. That's nuts. You know, between here and Mansfield, that's a lot of big fish.
Yeah, y'all are bouncing back quick. They grow fast down there.
Yes, sir.
The mystique of Baffin and Mansfield trout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They grow so long. They get so long. Mm-hmm. See, we're used to fat, stubby trout up here.
Mm-hmm. And Brian Burr catches those giant ones down the long ones.
And he's stubby. He's a giant.
Oh, he's a monster. And Brian Burr catches them down to 33 inches or something. They weigh 8 pounds or something, those long, skinny ones. But, you know, South Potty's got some real long, big fish, you know.
Yeah.
God almighty. And the way they fish are.
Tails on them.
Yeah.
Machines.
When I went down there to fish with Brian, I learned so much about that real shallow, clear water, how they use those. A lot of the guys use those spinners with real light line. They throw it 100 yards away from the boat to get the bite because the water's so clear and so shallow. They're seeing it.
You have to make that super long cast.
Then I asked those guys, I said, "Hey, man, Luis," I said, "how come you guys don't wade?" And I looked down, there's a plate-sized stingray every 20 feet. Okay, yeah. I got you. I know why you're not
wading.
They
got them. You know? They got them, buddy. Look like the chandeliers.
Oh, man.
All right, Cliff. Well, hey, buddy, it's always fun talking to you. Get all that cactus out of you.
I'm going to get Carol to decactus me, then I'm going to take a nap, man.
Get Mama to get to work on that. Well, look, man, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to come down and play ball.
All right, Mickey, Mary Code 361-949-0707. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Your reel's full and you can cast a long ways.
That's it, buddy. That's it.
All right, dog.
All right, thanks, Mick.
See you, Cliff.
All right, later.
All right, buddy. All right, well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT.